fueled by facts and driven by truth. Broadcasting live from beautiful British Columbia, it's Roadkill Radio. And now here are your hosts, Kerry Simpson and Ron Gray.
And you wanted diesel and you got it.
The sound of that diesel burning rubber as it takes off, or Terry O'Neill's epiglottal push as he announces us with such enthusiasm.
Gusto plus.
Yes,
our Terry O'Neill.
And you had a busy day, ma'am.
Oh, and you too, Mr. Gray. Yes, it's been a very, well, it's been a very busy week, in all honesty, and today was certainly no exception. As you know, we were downtown Vancouver this morning for a press conference to talk about...
A news conference. You've got to say news because the broadcast media still don't feel like the word press conference lets them in. It speaks of the print media.
Are you trying to convince me to conform, Ron Gray?
I should know better than that, shouldn't I? Okay. So we had a news conference.
A little newsy conference. Well, and this is about a very important event, and for those of you who received the announcement, no, this is Pornogate night, and we've dedicated the show entirely to what we're doing here. As the mic gets turned around. The right side.
Okay. All right. Room.
Because there's been a sequence of events, Ron Gray, you're very familiar with this because our team here at Roadkill Radio has been working literally night and day on a story that's very important to you people and parents. And it's a very illustrative story in that it really exposes how this sex activist, the homosexist left politics, are taking over our public education system.
It reveals a lot, but let's back up a bit. There's a new organization under the Roadkill Radio umbrella called Culture Guard.
Yes.
And Culture Guard was actually brought into being because of the things that you were uncovering about that led to Pornogate.
Well, Pornogate plus the assault on the family, Ron. Most of our viewers will know that we pay close attention to the relationship between the state and the family.
Yeah.
We pay close relationship and attention to what is happening politically, whether there's certain trends and fads in society that are taking hold of our politicians' mind, you know, the people that are elected officials, but are being hoodwinked or bought, because I think there's a huge seduction factor going on. And for instance, I'm referring to, of course, the pharmaceutical companies and all those issues. So what's happened, just so our viewers know, over the last few months, increasingly Roadkill Radio has been called upon to assist in different individual cases and movements and those kinds of things. Now, we've always had a community partner program here, which is what we've done through Roadkill Radio, not just what we do out here on public for you, but we support a lot of people and organizations and individual cases, whether it's child apprehension, whether it's parental rights within the public education system, or whether or not it's the federal government, you know, going bonkos with legislation affecting what we can or cannot, you know, ingest as far as food or vitamins even.
Or vaccines.
We're so well taken care of here in the country. So all of that being said, Ron Gray, we needed a national organization because continuously I am being called back to the forefront of my activist roots, if you will. And this is activist radio. We make no bones about it. We are biased. We are politically driven. We will not receive charitable status. Having said that, we rely on your contributions and your donations, people, if you want to continue having this information brought to you. And as the show develops tonight, we're going to give you more reason why you need to support what we do here. So Culture Guard kind of grew out of this because we came up with a name, and as you know, Ron, there's a lot of dedicated people and organizations that are very concerned about what is going on, and we needed an umbrella organization to work under.
And there's more than the program. There's a lot of activities going on behind the scenes in Culture Guard, in Roadkill Radio.
Our once-a-week adventure here with you people is only a glimpse into you can make sure that we're still breathing, okay?
The tip of the iceberg. The iceberg that's going to sink the Titanic of government interference with families.
Political ideology, I call it. Ideology. So anyway, so Culture Guard kind of grew out of the Citizens Research Institute, which was an organization that I headed up for way too many years. I stepped back from that to deal with some family situations. My mom became very ill. My husband became very ill. I had four kids. My time and energy was very much consumed by providing for my family. So, you know, and that was actually kind of nice to have a sane life. I have to tell you people that. It was really nice. But over the last few years, increasingly, I've been called to...
Well, there have been people who've experienced things where they saw that your previous experience in engaging the authorities and bringing some reality into their world would be valuable. I mean, they needed the kind of help that you had acquired through personal experience and through CRI.
Well, CRI was a great tool for the people.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was your battering ram, if you will, because, you know, we did have politicians pretty well trained that if we were on an issue, they should listen to us, you know, and we still have that. So having that said and having that ability, as I say, you know, Carrie, you have to come back. We have to do something here. Look at what's going on. And nobody can deny that the issues that are just infesting our society.
Listen, I've got to pause here and just get you to do a really quick capsule summary of two stories that I remember, but you'll be able to tell them better. One was your approach to the school authorities who wanted to vaccinate your children. And you were very obliging. You just happened to go to them with a document and said...
Well, I didn't even have to go to them with a document, Ron. You know, this is, you know, I didn't vaccinate my kids. I have serious issues. I've researched this situation and this topic quite thoroughly. And, you know, I, as a diligent mother, fed my kids properly. We had a good living environment. We took baths, you know, all those important things. Heavy emphasis on the really good food, though. You know, we are not inclined to be junk food, fast food sorts. You know, I actually cook, you know, novel concept these days. So fortunately, my children were very healthy, and that did factor into it. But no, I did not vaccinate my kids. So when they entered the school system, and even though they were in the private school system, still the public health nurses keep track of everything. And that's fine. So when, you know, I'll give the example of my last two children who entered the system. When we enrolled them in kindergarten, you know, the public health nurse very kindly would call, "Oh, Mrs. Simpson, you know, it's we noticed that Hannah doesn't have her vaccinations," and, you know, we got good. After having four kids, people, you know what's coming down the pipe, right? So and you're right, I'm always very easy to get along with, Ron.
Very
always.
Easy. Yes.
So I would just respond to these calls by going, "Oh, well, thank you for calling. I'm so glad you called. Perhaps you're the one."
The one.
This could be the special one. And they would always say, "Well, what do you mean, the one?" And I said, "Well, the one that's willing to sign away your immunity from liability, that if I vaccinate my children and they get sick or have an adverse reaction, I can sue you." And we didn't need to serve documents. A telephone call was quite efficient. Needless to say, you know, after this 2-minute conversation, you know, I really didn't hear from them again.
Never again.
No. So there are ways, and I think
The other one that I wanted to get to talk about was the time that the Ministry of Children and Families sent some social workers and cops to apprehend some children and you were waiting with a video camera.
Well, no, the family was, actually. This was a case where teenage daughter, a 14-year-old, had been apprehended with her younger sister from a mom in the Surrey area. And I was well known, aware of the situation. And the mom had called me several times. So I was very familiar with the situation. And I was, at best, a little bit skeptical over the conduct of the social workers. So this mom said, "Look, my kids want to come home." And I said, "Well, you know, then who am I to stop your kids from coming home?" And, of course, there's more to the story. The young 6-year-old was being left in a home with a 16-year-old teenage boy babysitting, a boy who had a history of violence. While the kids were there, he took a knife to the sofa, that kind of stuff. So the environment that the children had been placed in was really probably not that healthy, I would say. Anyway, so I told the mom, I said, well,
you're a master of understatement. Okay, carry on. You told the mom.
And the mom, you know, if the kids want to come home, please do, but please have witnesses there. Have a video camera and a recording of the events. And oh, by the way, here's my home phone number because, of course, you know, I know they're going to come around 12:30, 1 o'clock at night. So sure enough, you know, my phone rings at 1 o'clock and I answer it. And the mom in a terrified voice says, Carrie, they're here. And in the background, I can hear this pounding and it's the cops. Open this door, open this door. What do I do? And I said, just wait, you know, you might have to buy a new door. Well, you will have to buy a new door. But what I did at that moment in time, Ron, is I picked up my other phone and called Surrey Detachment and talked to the watch commander at the time and introduced myself as Carrie Simpson. But, you know, a lot of these guys already know who I am. And I said, look, I think we have a bit of a problem here. Your officers are trying to pound down the door of a mom whose kids just came home from a foster situation that is dangerous. You know, a knife-wielding 16-year-old troubled child is really not a safe situation. I said, now, constitutionally, you know, I think you're going to run into some issues here because I am going to follow up on this. And he said, you know, there was a little bit more exchange. And anyway, you know, he let me look into this. So a few minutes went by, and, of course, they pounded down the door and came in, and we do have recordings of all of this. And I said, well, to the mom, I said, well, now let me talk to the constable in charge. And I said, it's Carrie Simpson here. And just at the time I was talking to him, you could hear his radio piping in with headquarters. Yeah, just a minute, Mrs. Simpson. And then he muffled chatting with the watch commander. I'm assuming, I don't know that for a fact. Anyway, long story short, the next thing I heard was, boys, we have to get out of here. And the officer rounded up his little support team there, and they trotted off. And the last thing you hear is the social worker screaming, you can't leave us here. You have to stay with us.
anyway. I love how helpful you are to overweening, overly zealous officials to put them back on the track.
Yeah.
Where they ought to be.
You know, one day we should just publish all of these little adventures, Ron, because there have been some good ones.
It needs to become a book. Okay, so now that's just kind of background for the audience. Now let's get into Pornogate, what you discovered in your researches and why it led to Culture Guard and why that led to Culture Guard's news conference this morning.
Well, you know, as we were explaining to you, the audience, is, you know, all these different cases. Well, we kind of happened onto a story, a very scandalous story, Pornogate, that evolved, ironically, out of the Burnaby situation, the policy for anti-bullying, the code of conduct 5.45. And we became aware of a program that was in the schools called Out in Schools. And
Out in Schools.
Out in Schools.
Okay.
And, you know, it comes like this, and, you know, it looks all cheery and all the rest of it. Now, just a little bit of insight to this story. This story is authored by Rami Chandra. Now, Rami Chandra is a gay sex activist. And you know, I'm going to say this right at the onset, Ron, because I am this week going to issue a challenge to the leadership within the gay community to denounce this program and what has gone on here. And I think that will prove two things. Number one, it'll give license to the very good people within the gay community the opportunity to stand up and say, enough of this nonsense. We don't want to be associated with that kind of behavior. On the other hand, if these leaders do not stand up and denounce these people, then we will know which ones are sort of promoting, accepting, and allowing this kind of sexualization
yeah.
of children to go on. So it's just a win-win, I think, for everybody here on this issue. Sex activists come in all forms of sexual diversity, and certainly this program is one that just encourages it. So Rami Chandra is not only a sex activist within the schools, he's also the spouse, the homosexual spouse of sitting NDP MLA Spencer Chandra Herbert. And there will, I'm going to tease you right now, people, there will be a story breaking about that next week on Roadkill Radio, too. So this book is sold to schools. It was originally offered as a pilot project beginning in 2004. And it's sold to school trustees and unsuspecting teachers and parents as, you know, an anti-bullying program. Now, what's interesting about this is as you read through the program, like so many of these so-called anti-bullying programs, it has nothing to do with bullying. It has everything to do with indoctrination into the sex activist agenda. It's the sexualization. This is a sexualization. How to Sexualize British Columbia Kids book is what this is.
Anti-bullying sounds great. I mean, nobody is in favor of bullying. I encountered bullies when I was in school, and that was a long time ago. And the school officials dealt with that. Anti-bullying sounds great, but what you're telling us is that the anti-bullying label is just a mask.
Scam, hoax, charade.
Fraud.
There's a,
there
you.
Okay.
Yeah,
all
that's
right.
A good word.
All right. So what do you find out in schools when you explore the resources that they tell teachers to offer to their students?
Well, let me go back a little bit so we understand who is promoting this book. It's authored by Rami Chandra, but the machinery behind this is Out on Screens, and that is a nonprofit charitable society here in British Columbia, a society that is also responsible for hosting, promoting, and funding the Queer Film Festival.
All right.
And that's held every August here in Vancouver.
Yep.
And, you know, I think a proper name for it is Porno Fest. You know, that's what it's referred to. And I think the organizers would probably like that.
They'd
applaud
that.
Yeah, celebrate. Yes, let's get our terms right. Celebrate that. It is a porn fest. I will talk a little bit later about what the kids will be exposed as I kind of give the sequence of events to this, okay? So facilitators go into the schools, and although the program is said to be designed for secondary schools, we now have photographic evidence that, in fact, that they were in elementary schools as well. But
Elementary schools.
Elementary schools. Yeah, and you know, I'll also say this: the facilitators, while they present themselves as being, you know, very kind and caring people, we also have pictures, for instance, of one. Just as a little example here, people, Jen Sung went into the elementary schools within and Haida Gwaii, the school district.
Yeah.
When she's not in the schools, she has a different name that she likes to promote when she's at Pride Parade and doing other things. And do you know what that name is?
Nom de guerre.
Her other favorite name is Genderfuck. And so this is the role models, these are the sex activists that elementary kids are being exposed to, okay? And I'm not going to go into all the stories here, and I'm going to warn our audience right now. I will not mince words. I will quote directly from the information that's being given to your kids. I will use the words they use because I think you as parents need to know exactly the depth of depravity that, that the schools have been reduced to. So as you were saying, so this is all full of, you know, all this, why we have to do this, false statistics, statistics that have been obtained from a survey done by EGALE. EGALE is a political gay activist organization.
For equality for gays and lesbians.
The Ministry of Education should just, you know, reject anything from EGALE. They have a political purpose. They don't have charitable status. Immediately, that should send up a signal.
By the way, this is a side note, but you encountered some information recently about, I think it was about Penn, Pride Education Network.
Sure.
And the memorable James Chamberlain made a statement that you uncovered online.
Oh, and I have a copy of it where he emphatically asserts that they are a political organization.
So then nothing that they do should be allowed into our schools.
Or any of the teachers that ascribe to their methodology.
Yeah, okay.
Now,
onward.
This program, there's a number of problems associated with this program. First of all, the DVDs, there's two DVDs that come with this, people, and they are inclusive of short films, 20 minutes, some, 5 minutes for others. You know, certainly two of the six videos that the kids are shown are anti-faith. They want to undermine parents with a moral belief. And a civil moral belief. I don't think you even have to have a religious faith to be offended by what they're doing here. Anyone who opposes the inclusion of anti-bullying programs in the schools is vilified. They are the enemy. They are the stupid enemy. So kids are being set up to become activists with this program. Now, as you indicated, another part of this program that's very problematic is the youth resources. And again, for time constraint, because, I mean, we could give example after example after example, Ron, but what I've done is taken two good examples.
Okay, you've got two pages of them here, but two examples from that are...
Okay, this is the youth resources that this book has. One of them is HIM, the Health Initiative for Men. And what this organization is basically a gay porn site, operating under the guise of being, you know, a medical information portal, right? Okay. And we're paying for it. Okay. This is part. We have to do a whole nother show on that aspect of it. But the Health Initiative for Men first came to my attention when we went to Pride Parade this year. And you'll remember that I had my little threesome. We tootled off to the Pride Parade. And
I got to put that in correct context. That's Carrie and two cameramen. Okay, all right.
It's my threesome. Come on, let me have my threesome, Ron, okay? That's as exciting as it gets, people.
Right.
Okay, so off we tootled to Pride Parade, and we were going for two reasons. We had a mandate. We were on a mission. We had things we had to find out. First thing we had to find out was because of all the brouhaha over a professor from Kwatlen who made the honest observation that the Pride Parade is vulgar. Well, you think the sky had fallen. You know, how dare somebody speak, you know, with such hate against the... Well, hello, you know, the Pride is...
It's vulgar.
You know, some of those men really should get dressed. It was beyond vulgar. It was ugly vulgar, okay?
The other thing was that we had been told in working with the Burnaby parents that some of the teachers had told the students to go and attend the Pride Parade and visit the booths.
Well, more than what's happening in Burnaby, I have emails from teachers at secondary schools directing the members of the Gay Straight Alliance clubs to go to the booths as well. So I have that then. So let's go see what's at the booth, said Carrie, and off we went. So, yes, people, the Pride Parade is vulgar, ugly vulgar. but the booths are more concerning, especially if your kids are going there. And, you know, I'm going to take a moment here, Ron, because I think it's time to tell parents, you guys better get with the program. If you care and love about your kids, you know, if you care about your kids and you care about the culture and you care about the community and you care about the society that we are creating for them, well, you better start acting like grown-ups and start speaking up and becoming involved in your democracy, because this is your democracy. And you know what? Your democracy is being destroyed with your tax dollars.
And they are not only your children, but they are our next generation of citizens. I mean, it's a political axiom that if you can capture a whole generation of the youth and brainwash them, you have got the culture for centuries to come.
Well, and you know, I think one of the Supreme Court justices, when we had a panel that actually could demonstrate wisdom, Justice LaFleur said the best. You know, the state has never proven itself to be a good parent. So if the state is a bad parent and you are not acting like a parent, well, then who's parenting your kids?
Somebody's slipping in there.
Okay, so our first introduction to the Health Initiative for Men is, and we've got great video of, a display of out-and-out pornography, gay porn. They hand out information to kids that, it features pictures, I mean, you've seen them, condoms with men with four sets of arms wrapped around them, information on all forms of sexually transmitted diseases. But people, you have to understand that the sex activist culture is not sensible or sane. They don't think of things the same way we do. For instance, I'll give you an example. On the chlamydia information, it says, you know, carry on with fucking and sucking guys, you know, but just tell them if you're testing positive for these sexually transmitted diseases. And the whole emphasis of this your tax dollar sponsored program initiative is that, you know, continue having sex with as many guys as you want to. Just the important and responsible thing is to just keep getting tested. Well, finally, you know, and I've mentioned this before to you, Ron, you know, I must finish that commentary on why we must tax sex. Because, you know, it was prophetic when I started
it. Was, yeah.
And I kind of put it away, you know, because I have these writing therapy moments, you know. But I think that this is becoming very legit, because what this same health initiative asks their guys to do is come in and get tested. So I got going on their website. Well, okay, how much does it cost to get tested, you know?
It's free.
Free. Well, no, it's not free.
Of course.
It's you and I paying for it.
Yeah, those people have to be paid.
Yeah, and the pharmaceutical companies have to be paid, and, yeah, you know, these hell, you know, so the more people that these groups have, you know, carrying on with irresponsible sexual practices, that creates jobs, union jobs. I wonder why all those unions are marching in the gay pride parade.
I wonder why.
You know?
So what you're suggesting is a user pay kind of.
Well, I'm you know me, I'm rather libertarian in all this stuff. I think the mother government should stay the heck out of our lives way more than it is. But, you know, when Trudeau said, you know, government has no place in the bedrooms of the nation, well, I say the bedrooms of the nation have no business in our parks and schools, you know.
And our streets.
Well,
and in our government.
You know,
it
as I say,
both ways.
This has become so perverse and invasive now, and the only way it's going to stop is if people stand up and say,
yeah,
enough. Now, one of my favorite sayings is, financial accountability breeds wisdom faster than anything I have ever seen. You know, and so people, you know, go and fucking suck as many people as you want. Just don't ask me to pay for it anymore, you know. This is where we're going. I make no apologies for that language, because I understand from these information networks that that's the language they understand. So
that's
there you go.
That's the language they're projecting into our schools.
Absolutely.
That's the key.
That's the concerning part. So Health Initiative for Men has weaseled its way in as one of the youth resources. Now, if your 14-year-old son, for instance, is in a classroom where they're discussing these important youth resources and the teacher encourages the kids to go to the websites, because it's click-click now.
Yeah.
You parents need to be aware that this is how kids like to do research. Upon getting to that website, they will be inundated with gay porn. Now, on the Culture Guard website, and that's at cultureguard.com, you'll find videos where we have given you access to exactly what your kids can see. There's part one, which has the Out in Schools book on it with a big fail. That'll show you sort of an introductory way into the youth resources. Okay, that'll introduce you to the HIM website. It'll also give you a little bit of sense of what the Won't Get Weird website is about, which is basically a 1-800 sex number where your kids can call and talk sex with a stranger. Now, the other problem with that website, Ron, is that it paints parents as being stupid, angry, unreasonable. It undermines the whole family unit.
It implies they won't talk to you. We will.
Well, more than that, and if they talk to you, you are going to just get ragged on. You know, you know, either that or your mom will crumble at the thought of having to talk sex, you know, which is nonsense. So they're playing on old manufactured stereotypes that just really don't exist. I am sure that there are some parents where this is an important subject matter, and it's talked about with reverence and modesty. That's the right of that family.
Let's just back up a moment and remind ourselves that this was intended masquerading as a program about bullying. But now they're showing pornography to our children. They are telling our children that their parents are insensitive or stupid, or both. What has that got to do with bullying?
But Ron, you're missing the point here. Like so many words associated with the sex activist agenda, we just redefine it to create whatever we need, whatever's convenient, whatever works, whatever will dupe or scam or, you know, fraudulently get our way and what they want to do, right?
It's camouflage. Now, okay, now take me to this morning's news conference, which, interestingly, was held in front of the BC Teachers Federation office in downtown Vancouver.
Well, you know, as we went through the school, and I have to tell you, when I found these youth resources, I thought, bingo, you know, this is more than enough to convince parents that there's problems here.
Yeah.
And never in my wildest imagination, and I have a pretty good imagination these days, people, did I suspect that I would, you know, happen upon the information that we did involving another aspect of this program. Now, there's another very important part to this little game that they're playing.
Out in schools.
Out in schools has as one of their contests a public service announcement. So they lure and seduce your children into participating in this public service announcement where the kids are said, look, create a 30-second video public service announcement combating hate and homophobia. So by now the kids are all making decisions on emotion, and we all know that teenagers don't, you know, have a lot of emotion and drama, and that they can help and that they can save the world and that they can change the world, and it's up to them. Okay? So the kids are given this mandate to change the world. Will there be no more hurt, no more pain? And then they're seduced into the public service announcement contest. Well, then they're encouraged to go to the website.
They're told they're going to get prizes.
Prizes. They're going to win prizes.
Public acclaim.
Oh, public screenings at a huge festival. And you know, your name up in lights. I mean, come on. And a party.
And a party.
And a party.
What kind of party?
Well, this year's party was called Fierce and Fabulous.
Fierce and Fabulous.
Under 25.
Only people under 25.
Yeah, so parents really didn't qualify to go to the party,
parents
Ron.
Can't go. Yeah,
no,
okay.
How convenient.
Yeah.
And of course,
but there were adults at the party.
Oh, there were some over 25ers.
Okay.
Now, you know, this is what's really, really evil about this program is most parents believe, because it's in the schools, that somebody has had to research it, approve it. They couldn't lead their children into a party full of porn. That would never happen in British Columbia.
So now tell me, the screening of the kids' public service announcements and this Fierce and Fabulous under 25 party, these take place in conjunction with what event?
The Queer Film Festival.
Bingo.
Now, what's interesting about the website is when you start looking at how they lure children into this, and I use that word very specifically, they lure and seduce children into this. They have to sign into the contest. They sign away all their rights to their film, to their pictures, those kinds of things. I've read the rules in this, and it talks about public screening and those kinds of things. But, you know, nowhere on this website for Out in Schools, Ron, does it tell parents that their kids are going to be exposed to pornography when they go to the Fierce and Fabulous party to celebrate the public screening of their public service announcement?
Well, in fact, none of this information ever gets to the parents, does it?
Well,
the kids get this in the classroom. They might tell their parents, I'm doing a film for a contest at school. But this part of the information is never made public.
Well, let's give the benefit of the doubt to some diligent parent who goes in and says to the teacher, well, what is this about? And the teacher hands them this nice, benign-looking Out in Schools program that talks about all these wonderful objectives and all the rest of it. Well, most parents are going to think, well, okay. And let's be honest, because I suggest that very few parents, even though they should, go into the schools to find out what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, even if they did, this is very benign. We happen to have come into our possession pictures from the Fierce and Fabulous party, Ron, which became very educational to us and what the press conference was about today. One of the games that was featured at the Fierce and Fabulous party for your children is a game called Lesbian Debauchery.
lesbian debauchery.
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 We're not making this up.
They're honest, at least.
Well, and you know, this game, the creators of this game self-describe it as being a silly drinking game that's dirty.
A dirty drinking game.
A dirty drinking game for your kids.
For kids. For kids.
Okay, and we have pictures of kids sitting there very dutifully, you know, trying to act interested in what they're being exposed to. It's built on a truth or dare kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, where, you know, as kids we all played spin the bottle. Well, this one you get to spin the tongue.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
It gets better with lesbian debauchery because when you do a little bit of research into this game, we tried to get a copy of it. They're not available yet. They're only available if you're a kid going to the Queer Film Festival. But we did find on their website that when this is up and running, that the proceeds from this game are going to go to sponsor, you'll never guess what program.
Out. In schools.
Yeah, so lesbian debauchery is now going to be funding in part out in schools. And we'll talk a little bit more later about the funders of this. Of course, we know the funders are, or the main funders are us as taxpayers.
Yeah.
through the society, Out on Screen, which is the umbrella organization for both the Queer Film Festival and Out on Schools.
How come we always get to pay for everything? How does that work?
We're just too generous, Ron. Okay. And I want to stop. Yeah. Can I become cheap? I think we should all become really cheap people.
Stingy.
And, right. You know, this is, and I'm going to keep interjecting as we have this discussion because I want this to penetrate your thinking. I want you to become righteously angry. I want you to become righteously indignant to the point that you are willing to do something about things. If one thing I can get across to you is it takes so very little if enough of us come together and say enough is enough isn't enough and it's time to stop the insanity. I want us to all join in a campaign called Stop the Insanity. The insanity being we pay for our own demise, Ron.
Yeah, that's and that
how
of our children.
How stupid are we?
Our children. Surely parents are supposed to protect their children. That's a parent's primary. That's why you're a parent.
That is your duty.
That's it. That's your first responsibility. So shoveling that off onto the schools and saying, oh, well, the schools will protect my children. Folks, that doesn't work anymore. They're not protecting. And one of the reasons for that is that our entire provincial education system has become a captive of the teachers' union. The teachers' union also dominates the BC College of Teachers, their supposedly professional organization. But as we have seen, they will pillory teachers who are not politically correct according to their homophile dogma. So they're projecting their dogma onto our kids through the schools that we pay for. That's brainless.
And I should tell you at this point, when we were in front of the BC Teachers Federation, I met with the media liaison officer for the BC Teachers Federation, and I have invited the BCTF president on this show next week. We'll see if she shows up. She hasn't had the courage to show up in the past when we've invited her, so let's do that. I'm also going to invite Russ Johnston, who is the youth coordinator for the Out in Schools program through the Queer Film Festival, to come on this show. We'll just see who's willing to. If what they're doing here is so good, you know, please, people, just set me straight here, okay?
Well,
setting people straight isn't what we want, is it? Sorry.
Yes,
I'll catch on one of these moments. Yeah.
I've got an email from a listener who gives us a link to the Bill Good Show in the CKNW Audio Vault where Miss Jen Sung, who goes by other names at times, says she is seeking dialogue and wants to talk about parents' voice. So maybe we ought to invite her on the program.
There you go. Right. Well, actually, I had to laugh when I found out that Jen Sung, because she's also known, that's who I was referring to earlier, Jen Sung / Genderfuck. You know, Bill Good, I wish his producers would actually catch on with the game here, that they are being so played.
They are.
They are just being used and abused and made fools of. And, you know, but I'm going to help them with that education. We have some tools that we want to give to the downstream media that may be educational. Seems how we're on an educational little bent here.
Speaking of the downstream media, takes us...
No.
Not yet?
We're not yet, because we haven't gone through the rest of the games
listen,
yet.
We've gone through the first 40 minutes of the program, and I have not yet told the audience how they can participate in this. So I want to tell you, as you note, one of our listeners has just emailed us. The email is roadkillradio@live.ca. roadkillradio@live.ca. Send us an email. Give us your thoughts. Or you can phone in at 604-525-4167. Okay, let's march on.
You do that so well. You know, I'm always so
well,
impressed.
I learned from Terry O'Neill.
Well, the best. We can't help but be good.
Studied with the best.
Okay, so we now have introduced you to lesbian debauchery.
Lesbian debauchery.
I know you all excited about that.
Game.
A dirty drinking game. Okay. Mm-hmm. For queers, for lesbians, okay?
Okay.
Now, the other little picture that we have here was the kids putting puzzle pieces in to this game. And this is called the Queeriotic Table. Now, this is a diversity approach to science, I guess, is what's happened here. So
not really. People who went to high school when chemistry was one of the subjects will remember the periodic table of elements.
Yes.
And it used to be less than 100, and now it's over 140. But so it arranges the elements according to their valence and weight and so forth. But this has more than 100 pieces of terminology from the queer subculture. And they invite you to find yourself in it.
And your political identity. So
it's interesting to note that there is nothing that would be considered normal in this table. Nothing. There is no place. There's no place for you. There's no place for me. Their concept of diversity does not include us, Carrie Simpson.
I know, but we're special, Rondre.
We're off the charts on their periodic table. And happy to be off their charts. Yes.
So these are the creators of this game, okay? And you can go to queeriotic.com. And what you'll see at their website is, tables that come up like that, okay? And what you do is to find out what the definition is or the redefinition of this new element that is going to be, you know, a part of our society and our history now, is you just click on this, and then it'll give you what their definition is. And I have a few of these definitions that I will share with you.
By the way, words have no meaning anymore. We have stepped into a universe of unreality.
Is it? Oh, come on, Ron. Is it that bad?
Well, yes, it is. It is that bad. But let's remind ourselves now that this is all part of your children's education.
Well, and isn't that the crime, the intellectual crime to our children, is that their time, their valuable time, their time that should be respected is being wasted on this kind of nonsense.
Their time during the years when they are most receptive to learning, too.
Okay, yeah. Now let's just go through a few of these elements. Okay, now here's the one for RI, okay? And this is number 087. And again, people, graphic chart, I'm not going to mince my words. I'm going to read verbatim exactly what these symbols are defined as.
Because this is what they're saying to your children.
You know, and I just have to take a moment, Ron, because, you know, this has been a great debate between how do we present this information. And I have to tell you, people, I have wrestled with this. I have argued. We've had some lively discussions about this. But at the end of the day, the consensus was, let's be honest with parents about what their kids are being exposed to. Now, we will always warn you about the graphic nature and content, and as a matter of fact, I did finally decide on an element of censorship on videos that we will talk about, but you need to know what your kids are being indoctrinated with. And when you hear these terms and when you see these images, I want you to become righteously angry, righteously indignant, active, mobile, and verbal.
We cannot serve your best interests and mask what they are doing to corrupt your children. You have to know that this corruption is part of your child's experience in the British Columbia public school system.
Paid for.
Otherwise, you will continue to optimistically think that the school has your student, your child's best interests at heart. Maybe some of the teachers do. I know some teachers that I admire and love. But the teaching profession, the public school system in British Columbia, and indeed all over North America by now, has been captured by people with a warped perspective on human sexuality. You have to hear this.
Ron, and I'm going to go one step further. If you remain silent, people, you become complicit. You become party to this perversion, to the destruction of children in this generation. You make the decisions about what you're going to do. You make the decisions about what you're not going to do. That's simple, okay? The time has come. We are out of time. You have to mobilize. You have to become informed. You have to become united in a single voice with common sense civil Canadians that says, stop this insanity. Okay, our periodic table, and again, I apologize for the offense you will no doubt fear or feel. Element 087, RI, rimming. This is power in, there is power in parting the butt cheeks and plunging one's tongue into the asshole. And for the recipient, delightful. Element 023, TP, for top. In a same-sex context, the person who does the penetrating is usually referred to as the top, while the person who is penetrated is referred to as the bottom. In a BDSM, that's bondage and sadomasochism context, the person who is in control or directs a scene. Okay, now, Ron, you know, maybe you could help me here.
I want to congratulate you. You got that word right.
I know. I have been practicing. But I need help here because I'm learning so much these days, and you are so wise, one of the wisest men I know.
I feel like Yoda.
Can you explain to me how those two definitions somehow weave themselves into an anti-bullying program?
Nope.
No,
I'm sorry,
so.
No. It weaves itself into the seduction of the innocent and the corruption of the innocent. That's what it does.
All right, I'm going to give a few more examples. Sugar daddy, not an exclusively queer term, but frequently used by the community to describe an older and richer man who dates younger, poorer lovers. A provider, much sought after.
Yeah.
Let me give you the one on gay. Gay, 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 gay. That's so gay. We're having a gay old time. The gays are taking over the world. Gay.
This is from their. This is not our words. These are theirs. And this is what they're telling your children.
I'm going to give one more, but people, there are example after example after example here. Element number 004 BP. Is for butt pirate, a plunderer of the anal seas, a knave who enjoys the tight hole being plundered. Aye, Captain, I'll be your peg boy. Board me broadside and drop your anchor aft. Booty, pirate's treasure indeed.
Ack.
Okay, the games that they had your children play
at the fierce and fabulous party for under 25s.
Oh, and to celebrate the public screening of the public service announcement.
Yeah.
Now, another little key to our little search of seek and find, at this party, you'll never guess who was given a prominent display area. Health Initiative for Men.
H-I-M.
With all their porn posters, with all their pornography, with all the other stuff there for your children to have access to without your knowledge.
You know, I am becoming angry. I mean, I'm becoming furious. We started on this in a rational analysis. I'm just bloody angry. I want to punch somebody. I won't punch you, I promise. But I want to punch somebody. They have no right to do this to our children.
Well, isn't that part of it? The arrogance, the audacity. They think people, you parents, they think you are idiots and that they can get away with this.
They do.
And I'm hoping if this video manages to get, because one of the things I want everybody doing who's watching this show will be posted on the Roadkill Radio website. I want you to ensure that you distribute this to everybody on your email list. Get the word out. Get people involved. Hold a coffee party. Call our offices. We will send somebody to inform a group of people. Put together 20 people. Put together 10 people. We will send somebody to give you an education about this program. We will help you. We will tell you what to do, how to do it. We will give you the phone numbers on who to call. We will give you the email addresses on who to write to. We will equip you to be involved in your democracy, informed in your political activities that are happening here, and insight into what's going on in your children's schools and schools we all pay for. Every one of us as taxpayers pays for these schools.
All you have to do is care enough to ask. Look, you can go to roadkillradio.ca, or you can go to cultureguard.com. And you can look at these videos for yourself. You can explore the information, and then give us a call. Get in touch with us.
Send us an email.
You know, well, and one of the reasons why people need to do that, need to get in touch with us, is because of what happened today at the Culture Guard news conference. Carrie?
Well, you know, we sent out a news release, and everybody who's on our list will get copies of what kind of activities we're involved in and what we're doing. We put out a press release, Pornogate. We created a video that would demonstrate to all the media recipients, because we have a lot of media recipients on our email list, exactly what was going on in the schools.
How many hits were there on the website after that
Within
news release?
Within the first hour, we had 200 hits after that. And that was just to the media. That's not to our general list. That was to the media.
So we know then that most of the media were aware of this news conference.
A good portion of them.
How many turned up at the news conference?
Nobody. Well, no, that's not true. The Catholic media showed up. The Chinese media showed up.
And Roadkill Radio was there.
And Roadkill Radio. Certainly our news team was there. But all the Vancouver Sun, the Province, all the CBC, our, you know, TV network.
Oh, yes, we pay for it, folks. $1 billion a year.
So now this is interesting. And we actually anticipated this. This is what's really interesting about this, people. We anticipated this. And you know why we have concluded is because the sponsors of the Out in Schools program include TELUS, Coast Capital, Van City,
the Vancouver School Board.
Okay, but we have some big advertising dollars wrapped up in there. Do you think that the news media, the downstream media, is going to jeopardize their advertisement to inform little old you? Absolutely not.
Fat chance.
And you know, this is another thing. You need phone numbers to call these people. If you're a subscriber to any of these press, the print media, or if you watch BCTV News or CBC News, you need to call them and ask them why they failed to inform you about a newsworthy event involving your children and your tax dollars.
You know, Carrie Simpson, my early background was in journalism. I learned the craft under the late, great Jack Webster.
When reporters were really reporters.
If a story, if a news release like the Pornogate news release had come across my desk at any point during my journalistic career, I would have been over the moon. I've got to go to this thing. This is a big story. Because part of what is included in that news release is a warning that there may be actual criminal code violations being perpetrated by the Vancouver School Board, by the BC Teachers Federation.
By Out on Screen, by the Queer Film Festival.
So the possibility that there's a criminal activity going on here, and it's being exposed through, it's offered to be exposed through the media, that's a big story. What that tells us, folks, is that if the downstream media will no longer serve your interests, they won't inform you, you, the citizens, we all together have got to become our own media. We've got to tell our neighbors. We've got to get these websites and pass them around. Email them to everybody on your email list. Let people know what Kerry Simpson and Culture Guard and Roadkill Radio have unearthed. There's a lot of really slimy stuff under the rocks. And you and your neighbors need to know about it. And if the downstream media, the stagnant, dead media, will not tell them, then we have an obligation to tell one another.
Well, and you know, this is, I think, where we're moving, Ron Gray, and I'm going to just digress off the whole Pornogate. We will come right back to it. But I want to finish this first segment this way.
Okay.
The technology nowadays, people, whether it's social media, whether it's your computer, your ability to download the files from Roadkill Radio, your ability to communicate instantly with your group, with those people that you care about, with your friends that you want to be informed because you care about their children too, that ability to instantly communicate with each other is gold in our hands. That is the changer. That is the agent of change that is going to make our ability to bring about sensible change and stop this insanity, okay? But that requires all of us to participate in this. Ron Gray, Kerry Simpson, and the wonderful team we have here at Roadkill Radio, yeah, we're pretty good at this, and we do a lot of work. We do work on your behalf, but we also need your help. You can be part of this team. You can be part of making a difference. You can be part of making sure that things that happen in our society are truly in the interest of this nation and everybody who has to reside here. What is happening now has been allowed to happen because we have either been too busy, having fun, too busy sitting in our hammocks on Saturday afternoons rather than becoming informed, choosing willfully to look the other way. Well, we don't have that luxury anymore because this insanity has come into your child's classroom. And you know, this is just one aspect we're concentrating on tonight, Ron Gray. You know, we've done enough shows here on the apprehension laws, the fact that they can come in and remove your children. We have issues involving free speech and your religious rights and your rights to think and have opinions. The assault against our civil society is closing in, and people, I'll tell you, it's time we take a stand. And together, we can turn this around really quick if we talk to each other.
And if we don't, we are going to lose it all.
Deservingly so.
And the most precious thing we'll lose is our children. Because when they're gone, when their minds have been corrupted, when they've been hooked on this kind of porn, when they're addicted, you'll have a very difficult time trying to rescue them back. Once they're down the drain, they belong to somebody else. They belong to another culture. They're no longer your children.
All right, and we're going to end part one there. We are not going to go away, but just for the purposes of this video, we're just going to take 2 seconds to breathe. And now we're going to go to part two. Ron Gray, we have been talking about in part one here a program that was the genesis for Pornogate, a program called Out in Schools, a program that is designed to seduce and lure children into a culture of pornography and sexual diversity or perversion, to use your word. See, you actually have me using that word now.
You betcha.
My goodness, it took a while, didn't it? But I am there with you.
Thank you.
Now we're going to concentrate a little bit on what happened today at the press conference. Of course,
yes.
None of the mainstream or downstream media, as we refer to it, bothered to show up. That means that you, as concerned citizens who rely on the media for your information, will not have it. But another interesting aspect happened after the press conference, because the press conference was called because of criminal charges that I was going to lay with the Vancouver Police Department.
Right, that was announced. And by the way, it was announced in the
press release.
The news release that went out ahead of time. And it was again announced at the news conference in front of the BC Teachers Federation offices. By the way, something very interesting happened there.
One of
the officers of the BC,
one
of the officers of the BCTF came down and started making notes frantically, and Carrie invited her, said, "Would you like to make a statement to the cameras?" Because we had a couple of cameras there. She said, "No, I don't speak for the Federation." I discovered that she's the media relations officer for the Federation, but she doesn't speak for the Federation. Well, not when she doesn't want to, anyway.
Well, you know, and as I said, Ron, to that same individual, I extended an invitation to President Susan Lambert to come on this show,
yeah,
as we have in the past. We will see. I really hope they do, because, you know, one of the things with this program that makes this so difficult is some very well-intentioned people are duped, you know, and that's what a lot of these programs, it is so hard about this, because the intent and the heartstrings are all in the right place for the right reasons.
Yeah, but Carrie, you know, I think there was something wise in what Nancy said, because the truth is, when you don't have anything intelligent to say, the best thing to do is shut up.
So there is some brain power at the BCTF. Is
yeah,
that what you're suggesting?
That's what I'm suggesting, yeah.
Yeah, who says we don't give credit to the left,
give
right?
Give credit where due, yep.
Now, Ron, after the news conference, we did proceed to the Vancouver Police Department headquarters.
Yes.
And we went and suggested about our complaint there. We waited for close to 2 hours, and the gal that took our intake was, you know, visibly concerned about what the nature of our complaint was. Anyway, long story short, finally a large constable arrived and looked around, and I heard him mention my name. I said, "Are you looking for Carrie Simpson?" And he came over, and I had quite a pile of information.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the main lobby there for the Vancouver Police Department. And he said, "What's the complaint about?" So I started to explain about the out in schools. He didn't take one note. He just sat there. Uh-huh. "So what's the complaint about?" And, you know, I explained again how this program was being, you know, exposing children to obscene material, pornography, those kinds of things. Uh-huh. "What's the complaint about?" You know, very arrogant, and, you know, you could just, you know, and people, I'm the wrong person to try this with, because, you know, I really do recognize all the tactics. You know, the tactics,
yeah,
are, if I stand here and try to make you look, you know, like this is a non-issue, you'll just go away, right? Anyway, things continued to go, and then things got a little exciting, you know, and finally I said, "Are you going to take any notes?" And he says, "Well," and I said, "Well, then that's a good thing I have this complaint," because I had the complaint all drafted out for them.
All formally written, citing the chapters of
the criminal code for them,
Canada,
and everything.
Yeah.
Pictures, too, Ron. We provided pictures of
pictures
the fierce
worth
and
a
fabulous,
thousand words.
Yeah, of all the kids and porn in the background, all these kinds of things. He started to look a little uncomfortable at that point. He said, "Well, you know," and then, so then I started, you know, explaining about pornography and obscene, and then I went into also the issues that this program may have solicited funding based on false information, false pretense, because if you go to a school board or a sponsor like TELUS and say, you know, this program is about anti-bullying, and it's something that sounds so good.
That's a wonderful idea.
Wonderful.
Let's sponsor anti-bullying.
But we don't tell them about the rest of it, that we're going to have the kids at PornFest and all the rest of it. You know, that's a false representation of what this program is about. And that is a criminal offense under our criminal code.
To obtain money under false pretenses is fraud.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well,
okay,
there is a section for false pretense as well. There's quite a few sections that deal with misrepresentation of truth.
And you cited them all in the information that you gave to the police.
So anyway, so then he said, well, you know, this, you know, what do you mean pornography? I said, well, is there a room we can go to or not? And he says, well, no. And so there's a counter there. He says, let's go here. Now, you have to appreciate this, people. We're in the Vancouver Police headquarters, okay? All kinds of people mulling around. You know, and as I say, you know, if you want to put on a show and show what you're about, chances are I'm going to give you a stage to do it, but I'm going to play a part in it as well. So I pulled out my pornography.
Not your pornography, their pornography. Yes.
I've got a good collection now, Ron. Needless to say, we had the attention of the majority of people within the Vancouver police lobby now. And he's still trying to maintain this stiff face of, you know, you're supposed to be intimidated, you're supposed to have backed down by now and go away, and this isn't going according to my plan. So his name was Constable Eric Lott. Eventually I got that from him. He didn't have any cards on him. He will mail me one because I like to have visible, tangible stuff to hold and feel and to show all you guys. So as we progressed, you know, I started flipping out obscene material and pornographic material, some of the shots that we have on our website. So you can go, people, and decide whether or not this is pornography or not. He says, well, that's not pornography.
By the way, I might tell you that before we arranged to go to the police with this information, we convened a group of parents of students in the public school system, and we played some of this video material for them and said, what do you think it is? Unanimously, they agreed this is pornography and has no place in the school and no place before the eyes of our children anywhere.
So. Well, now, and I want to be clear here. There is pornography, and then there is pornography that falls within the criminal code. And they are two very distinct things. But porn is porn. The question is whether or not it violates the criminal code. So, for instance, I you know, and remember, everybody, we had the whole attention of all the people now sitting in the lobby. And so I pulled out some different pamphlets, and he says, well, that's what kids would see on cable. You know, and does that make it right or wrong, right? The fact is that these children were lured by false pretense to a porn fest.
By the way, there is also internet luring is an offense under the criminal code.
Absolutely. So, and when I used the word luring, he was shocked. He said, well, that's a strong word. So by now my antennas are up on this guy, okay? And I'm going to just push his buttons to see where politically he's coming from, okay? And I said, well, you know, a lot of sex activists wouldn't think that's pornography. That's just something you indulge in, right? Then I pulled out the HIM pamphlet on
Health Initiative for Men.
Right. And he said, well, what's that? And I said, well, it's basically, you know, a tax-funded gay porn dating service under the guise of health, where they talk about all the sexually transmitted diseases and then, you know, try to engage each other in as much sex again. He says, well, that sounds like a health facility to me. I said, well, let me read to you some of the material. And again, we have an audience, people. So I pull out this and I said, all right, this is what they want kids to have access to, okay? And, you know, I didn't mince words there. I don't mince words here. One of the comments they say here is, talk to the guys you've sucked or fucked in the last couple of months so they can be examined, tested, and treated. You know, this is the information that they're putting to kids. This is the information they're learning to them. This is the information that is involved with the HIM website and display that was at this meeting.
Funded by your tax dollars, folks.
So that wasn't convincing him. So I knew early on in this discussion that we were going to have to, you know, strategically play this guy to see where we're going to go with it, right? And remember, he still isn't taking any notes. And I asked him, aren't you taking any notes? He says, yeah, I should take notes. He says, well, who are you representing? And I said, well, I'm Carrie Simpson, you know, formerly of Citizens Research Institute, now involved, you know, with a national organization called Culture Guard. He said, Culture Guard? He says, what's that? And I said, well, that's a citizens umbrella organization for a lot of individuals and a lot of organizations that are very concerned about where we're going with this country. He says, oh, so you're upset about this information because it doesn't fit your definition of what you want to see the culture as. And I said, no, we are here to file a complaint because individuals have broken, in our view, the law. And this is about the rule of law that defines our culture. Now, you may not like that constable lot, you know, but that's what you're supposed to be enforcing and protecting, right? So it was a fun little exchange.
Yes.
So at that point, he did make a note, culture guard. And I said, good, put a .com at the end of that and then go visit our website to see what's going on here. Now, So we progressed. So then I progressed with more descriptive pornography, I'll just put. And then I start talking about the games that they lured the kids there to play. Because our laws involving pornography people, we have some work to do here, because I think we have to bring back laws that define criminal conduct as exposing children to pornography and those kinds of things. So I the examples I picked, because I do know the law and I do know what fits within the law. So I talked about the promotion of bondage and sadomasochism, because obscenity is defined that it has to be violent, that kind of thing. It's not just porn. There has to be some qualifying factors to it, and the threshold is quite high.
Although there was something that you mentioned before the program, and I wrote it down because I think this is important for us to alert people to. We have watered down the laws about corrupting our youth. So there is a criminal code definition of obscenity, but pornography is very iffy. There used to be a fairly high standard to be met. Now, almost anything, if instead of calling it pornography, you call it eroticism, you can get away with it anywhere. Even on public display, even where children will see it, even in public libraries, where publications like Extra West, is a homosexual newspaper, where they advertise sometimes for boys, where there are extremely graphic cartoons and so forth, these things are put in libraries where children can get at them. We have, by our inattention, allowed the watering down of our laws, particularly the laws that are supposed to protect children.
Well said, Ron, and you're bang on. I will read, just for our viewers' information here, the Criminal Code on Corrupting Morals, Section 163.1. Everyone who commits an offense who, A, makes, prints, publishes, distributes, circulates, or has in his possession for the purpose of publication, distribution, or circulation any obscene written matter, picture, model, phonograph, record, or any other thing, or makes public prints, publishes, distributes, sells, or has his possession for the purpose of publication, da 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 da. Okay, so obscene written matter. It's, you know, that's the threshold that you have to meet. Okay, another provision within 163.2b says publicly exhibits a disgusting object or an indecent show. Okay, so in our complaint we cited these sections of the criminal code and others. And this is where our little exchange got kind of interesting, in the lobby of the Vancouver Police Department. So, you know, he's carrying on about what is pornography and what isn't. Finally, I asked him, I said, you know, this is where I discovered his name. I said, I'm sorry, what is your name? Because we had been going back and forth. He says, Eric Lott. And I said, and your rank? Well, constable. Constable, and he lists off where he is, and you know, Section 7, Department this and that. I said, well, what is that department? He's a traffic cop. Okay? And I said, now, in your daily, you know, job then as a traffic cop, you have all this familiarity that you can sit here and toss my evidence about saying this is not pornography, this is not obscenity, those kinds of things. And he says, well, as a traffic cop, and he got very belligerent, and it got quite entertaining, actually. And by now, you know, I mean...
You better watch your driving in Vancouver from now on.
We should have been selling tickets, I think, at this point. Popcorn, anyway, right? So I said, as a traffic cop, you're telling me then that this is not consistent with the criminal code. I said, because I'm pretty good on law, you know. And then I said, you know, I'm curious, Constable Lott. You know, when we filed our information when we came here and when I talked to the number we were instructed to call for more details, I told them very clearly that this was issues involving obscenity, pornography, and commercial fraud, right? So why did they send you? He said, I saw the complaint. I volunteered for it.
Oh. Oh. A personal interest.
Well, that's what I said to him. I said, oh, you have a special interest in this kind of complaint. He said, yes, I do. Okay? So I looked at him knowingly, and he looked at me knowingly, and he was going to end up on the sad side of this argument. Okay?
Wow.
So I said, so then you're very familiar with the Queer Film Festival. He says, as a constable in Vancouver, you have to be. Good response, right? Okay? So now it became quite fun for me, because this is the perfect situation. So then I decided to elaborate on whether or not, you know, his knowledge was, and I said, now, as a traffic cop, you know, because I think we have to be very clear and distinct on these things. I said, now, let's move on then to the really good stuff, because I have, you know, information that, you know, a film was played at the Queer Film Festival, and it was advertised in the papers. I said, I'm actually kind of surprised the Vancouver Police Department didn't act on it on their own, and I'm a bit curious as to why I'm having to do this, because it was promoted as being involving pedophilia, or not, bestiality, necrophilia. I'm thinking of Strap, the one about the male prostitute, which I talked to him later. And it's built around a snuff film theme. It said, the life and death of a porno gang. I said, are you familiar with it?
And he said?
He didn't answer.
Oh,
I said, so let's forget all this what you view as not pornography. Let's go right to the really good stuff here. I said, so let's just narrow this complaint and you familiarize yourself with this, because this is the officer that has been assigned to us just because he volunteered. He's there, right? I said, you go find this film, you view it, and you tell me whether or not it fits within the criteria for the criminal code, because I know it does. And he didn't want to have any of the, at that point, he said to me, I think you need to speak to somebody from the diversity division.
The what?
Diversity division.
Whatever happened to the morality squad?
Yeah, well, I guess it went out the window when you corrupt the morals of a youth, Ron. I guess that all went out there.
When the youth who have had their morals corrupted grow up and become cops, then they join the diversity squad.
So, you know, I think this officer understood at this moment in time that I probably did know what I was speaking about, and certainly something registered with him, whether there had been discussion within the Vancouver Police Department, because quite often what happens on these issues, and they're not easy issues for government agencies, schools, or anything to deal with, Ron, because the backlash is so great. I mean, look at the brouhaha we spoke about earlier in part one of this series about the professor from Kwantlen who simply made an honest observation statement about gay pride as being vulgar. You know, everything went ballistic. So
yeah, people were demanding his job. I mean, they wanted his head.
So at that moment, I decided to just narrow my complaint right down to the life and death of a porno gang. I know that there's no, you know, going to be any question that this did breach the Criminal Code of Canada.
And just to put this back in context, let's remember from the first half of the show that we are talking about something that is being promoted in the schools of British Columbia.
So, well, and this,
Lower mainland,
this particular film, because what happens is when the kids, and we probably should elaborate a little bit on that, when the kids get kind of seduced into this whole queer film festival, Fierce and Fabulous party, they are taken into the Queer Film Festival website, where the films are displayed. And you can click on it and find different films and then just go to YouTube and find the trailers for these things. So I would suggest that most 15-year-olds who click on the films and see the life and death of a porn gang are going to be kind of intrigued with that title and may want more information on it, okay? Now, this film is a snuff film plot. It is extremely violent. It is extremely gory. It involves bestiality. It involves all forms of sexual perversion, transvestites. It just completely violates the criminal code of Canada. So at this moment in time, this constable obviously realized that he might be sunkered on this one. So suddenly we switched the tactic to, I'm not the right guy. After all, I'm only a traffic cop. I said, that's right. You're a traffic cop.
You're teaching him.
I'm there to help, Ron.
You're
you know
there to
me?
Help.
And by now,
lucky.
The audience is kind of smirking and smiling at this, right? I said, all right, the diversity squad. Who do I speak to in diversity? So he pulls out his little, BlackBerry or phone and starts trying to find all kinds of numbers. I said, oh, you don't know the number. I have the number. And he phones at nobody's in diversity division.
They're all out at the Queer Film Festival.
So that's where, the saga will continue, people, and I will do an update on this. So then I decided to ask him, in the efficiency of time, my time particularly, I said, all right, now, I don't think commercial fraud, false misrepresentation and those kinds of things fit in the diversity department. Who should I go visit for this? Please put me in touch with the people that can actually do something
here. Commercial crime squad.
That's actually, he did come up with that eventually.
Yeah.
So there you go, people. To be continued. And it will be continued. I will push this to the max. I want to know why this film festival was allowed to show this particular film. I want to know why this organization out on screen, out on schools, in cahoots with the Vancouver School Board, because I'm limiting the complaint for the purposes of the police complaint to what's transpired in Vancouver, has been allowed to lure, seduce, lie to you as parents, and expose your children to, perversion and pornography.
I just want to read you two short paragraphs from a story in today's Washington Times newspaper in Washington, D.C. Robert Knight wrote this. Said it says in the context, if I wanted to corrupt the youth of the nation, how would I do it? Says, well, I'd cloak sexual promiscuity in terms of self-fulfillment, mix it up with junk science, lobby the teachers' unions to openly promote the Kinsey sex education model, and then finally I'd expose the kids to outright propaganda through clever websites designed to promote deviance, and I would brand anyone with any qualms, such as their parents, as hate-filled bigots and bullies. And if the school districts resist, I'd slap them with legal threats. What are we talking about? Well, we're talking about exactly what he's described as a formula for corrupting kids.
That's the recipe for out in schools.
That's the recipe. They've got it. But look, if you look back in the history of this, back in the late 80s, no, the late 70s and early 80s, Kirk and Madsen wrote a book called
After the Ball.
After the Ball.
All right, and I'm going to stop you there because this is a perfect time to end segment two. You will all want to come back for segment three because what we're going to do now is go into the history, the evolution of sexucation. Because we don't have public education anymore. We have public sexucation.
We do.
So we're going to leave you now, but we'll be right back with part three, the background, the history, how this has happened, the evolution of sexucation.
And as we leave you, I will tell you again that you can communicate with us, participate, by emailing us at roadkillradio@live.ca or phoning in on 604-525-4167. Though I know that most of our audience prefers to go to our archives where they can listen to the whole program at the time of their convenience. But we are grateful for the ones who have something to contribute. And you can contribute between programs by emailing us at roadkillradio at live.ca.
Well, and or from directly from the Roadkill Radio website, you just click on the buttons, you can send an email to whomever you choose, or phone us. The office number for Roadkill Radio and Culture Guard is area code 604-514-1614.
So, participate. Yes, participate. Become part of it. Become part of us. Become part of a truth-telling network of civil, common-sense Canadians. Share this information with your neighbors. They need to know so they can protect their children.
All right. And join us for part three, and you'll get all the goods on how this has all happened. Ron Gray, we're back now with part three to our expose on Pornogate and how the schools have been hijacked for the purposes of sex activists as opposed to education realities.
And we started with our historical review by going back to 1979 and Kirk and Madsen and their book After the Ball, How America Will Overcome Its Fear of Gays.
Well, and it wasn't really a book, was it? It's more like a blueprint, a map, a how-to guide.
These two guys were actually marketing experts, and they simply designed a program for selling the gay lifestyle to a culture.
Well, but I want to stop you there, Ron, because these guys, this is nothing new, people. This is nothing new in the sense. Historically, we have seen sex used repeatedly to corrupt the youth, to change political movements within civil nations for the purposes of the not so good purposes of shifting culture values within various countries and political movements, because youth and sex, if you talk sex, you get their attention. Add drugs, rock and roll, and parties with lots of pizza, you have more than their intention, you have their minds.
And every culture that accepted this worldview crashed and burned. And that will happen to us unless civil, common sense Canadians unite, put their voices together, and oppose this rising tide of filth.
And you know, Ron, we're in a very opportune time here in British Columbia because we know we're going to have an election come 2013 now. That gives us more than enough time to get our friends and our neighbors and our relatives all together to come up with an agenda. And I have, you know, I think we need to plot and plan this, people, and make very clear to those that want to represent us in a electoral way and as our representatives in government that they better sing the song of civil Canadians. Taxpayers, because your money is funding us. If we were to cut even the program and the funding that we've been talking about here, the Queer Film Festival and Out in Screens, you gave over $370,000 of provincial and federal money to that one program last year. You know, we do this a couple times in a few of these special interest organizations. That's money in your pocket. That's money going to services that are truly beneficial for everybody within this province.
And that's only the government money that went to queer film. You know, you take the corporate sponsorship, you know, someone like TELUS, if you happen to be a TELUS subscriber, then they are giving money.
Absolutely.
To the Queer Film Festival, giving money to Out in Schools. That money comes from you and me, folks. They don't have any money of their own to give them. They get the money from us, and they pass it on. It all, you know, it just... so brainless to think that someone would... some rational individual would say, well, let me see. I think I'll hire someone to destroy my family.
I know. And you know what, Ron, I want to say this. People, we have very powerful tools at our disposal. We have a vote, a vote that we have at election time, and we have a vote on who we do business with. Your money matters. Your business matters. You need to understand the power of those two things when it's unified. And we're going to talk a lot about that in the future because these organizations, these corporations need to be sent a very clear message. Now, I am going to give everybody the benefit of the doubt at this point that they really didn't know what they were supporting. I will report back to you next week, though, on what they say, because we have letters going out, you know, advising various corporations, sponsors to these groups, exactly what has happened here. I want to see the response.
Well,
I know you're curious.
And that's fair. When you took the complaint to the police department, you suggested to them that there is fraudulent, there's fraud here, misrepresentation, false representation to extort money from these commercial sponsors. And that's giving them the benefit of the doubt. Let's see what they do.
So far.
So far.
We will report next week. Now, Ron Gray, going back to After the Ball and the historical movement, they just, you know, they capitalized on a political moment. We were coming off the free love generation of the 60s. We needed to reinvent something, you know, and when you get as old as we are getting, you can look back historically and see all these various social causes that come about every few years. I'm thinking in the schools, we had, you know, first of all, we had to have sex education to stop all the teen pregnancies. Well, we've been a complete failure at that. Then we had to have drug and alcohol education to stop the kids all, you know, from smoking pot and popping pills.
And binge drinking.
And I think we've got more problems on that
front
now.
That's gotten worse, yeah.
But they've gotten pretty good corporately on the drug trade and all the rest of it. So much so that now we have to have school liaison police officers in the schools. Then we decided to deal with child abuse. Of course, that was a disaster because we just increased the industry of kids being snatched from their homes and destroying families because kids were reporting their fathers for changing their diapers when they were two. Then we have the radical feminist movement, globalization, global warming. My goodness, you know.
Embrace, where are you, Al
Gore? Embrace the green. Now we're on to this anti-bullying nonsense.
Bullying is, yeah.
And all this homosexual stuff is flying. This sex activism is flying in under that banner.
It is. It's flying under false colors. Well, and here in B.C., it really began to take off back around 2005 when two men from Maple Ridge who thought they were married to each other.
Maple Ridge or Coquitlam, was it?
I think it was Maple Ridge. That side of the river, anyway. They thought they were married to each other, and one of them was a teacher, but they threatened the provincial government of British Columbia with a couple of human rights complaints because, they said, the curriculum in the schools was not, in their estimation, adequately gay-friendly. Now, rather than defend the curriculum as approved by the Ministry of Education and validated by all of the school districts in British Columbia, the Minister of Education of the day and the Attorney General of the day held a private meeting with these guys and illegally entered into a contract with them that was never on the floor of the legislature. Never entered the legislature.
Well, parents were consulted, obviously.
Obviously not. And in fact, when they entered into this contract...
Wait, I have to feign shock.
Yeah, shock. When the provincial government illegally entered into this contract with these two guys that allowed them to write a social justice curriculum from a gay perspective, a group was formed called Parents for Democracy and Education, and here's a disclaimer, I'm a vice president of it. I wasn't there at the formation of it, but I am now.
Yeah, and then we just go admittedly biased.
Yep.
Yeah.
And what it said was, their first approach was, all right, you've given these two ordinary citizens a privilege that was never given to citizens before.
Okay, now wait a
Why
minute.
Why not let the parents have at least an equal voice?
Now, you're making this suggestion to the Minister of Education, are you?
Yes.
Well, that sounds very reasonable.
Well, the Minister of we wrote to the Minister of Education to suggest this, and the Minister of Education wouldn't talk to us. Wouldn't even let us in the office. So we have been lobbying against this program ever since. Later on, these two guys produced a teacher's guide, which taught teachers how to integrate homosexual propaganda into every class.
Now, these two guys, they were affiliated with a very busy political organization back then. If I recall, it was GALE, Gay and Lesbian Educators of BC. Did I get that right?
That's correct, yeah, which is has now changed its name to protect the guilty. It's called PEN. Pride Education Network.
Okay. And we've seen them directly affiliated with the Out in Schools program.
Out in Schools. You see how it all ties together, folks.
Now, in my recollection of GALE, they didn't have charitable status either because they were a political organization.
They are a political organization.
Now, shouldn't the public education system be protected from political agendas being carried out in the classroom by political activists?
Is any other political organization allowed to put resource materials into the schoolrooms, to write curriculum materials and project them into the schoolrooms?
I can't think of any.
Nor can I. And nor should they be allowed to. And nor should Penn or GALE BC or whatever they want to call themselves. They keep changing the name, as I say, to protect the guilty.
Now I'm curious about this whole process before the Human Rights Commission, Ron, because I'm very familiar with the Human Rights Commissions and Tribunals, as are you. but I recall back then, at that point in time, the gay and lesbian educators were receiving money from the Human Rights Commission.
Isn't that interesting? A political organization gets money from the Human Rights Commission and then goes before the Human Rights Commission. Little wonder the government caved in. Cowardly, but they caved in.
Well, I mean, that's wrong. You cannot be endorsing in part and parcel to this. This would
you
tell me...
You can't be a judge of someone to whom you're giving money to advance their program.
Absolutely not.
No.
Now, so what we've just kind of illustrated there is that this whole agreement, this whole negotiating environment that this was carried out in is illegal. This is wrong. This should never have happened. The Human Rights Commission should have disclosed immediately that it had not only financially contributed to this organization, but I also have in my possession letters of endorsement from then Human Rights Commissioner Mary Wu Sims. I also have in my possession, come to think of it, annual reports that featured Murray Warren and Peter Cook, as they were known then, on the cover. And if things are resurrecting in my brain properly, which they typically do, I recall Brent Power, their adopted son, who decided he was gay after going to a library and seeing copies of Extra West, that he worked for the Human Rights Commission.
Now, there are a lot of connections.
Isn't this rather
here,
incestuous as far as political organizations
okay,
go?
Okay, let's have another one then, because a couple of years ago I went to a conference sponsored by the BC Teachers Federation, a conference for teachers to teach teachers how to integrate homosexual propaganda into their classrooms. I sat in on it. I paid the money, went and attended, and then I wrote a news release about it later on. And part of that news release showed a graphic that was distributed at this conference. We call it the staircase graphic. It shows a picture of a staircase, and it's labeled Levels of Attitude of Students Toward Gays and Lesbians. And it starts at the bottom at revulsion, and then goes to pity, and then tolerance. Then it leaps over to the other side of the staircase and works its way up through admiration, affirmation, and all the way to the top at celebration. Now, this is a clear declaration by the BC Teachers Federation of their intention to brainwash students in order to manipulate their attitudes.
Well, this is an agenda. A political agenda is what you're saying.
Now, you may be familiar with the name of the person who coordinated this conference. It was one James Chamberlain. You've heard of him, I know.
James Chamberlain, he is a known liar.
A self-confessed liar.
A self-confessed lawyer. I have his sworn testimony. I know everybody goes, oh, you can't say that about people. They'll sue you. I keep inviting James Chamberlain, please sue me. He won't. He can't. Truth is a defense. James Chamberlain, also the same teacher that admitted under oath that he was teaching other teachers how to circumvent Ministry of Education policy, James Chamberlain?
That James Chamberlain.
Isn't that defined as unprofessionalism?
Yeah, I think so.
Conduct unbecoming a teacher, maybe?
Isn't that something that ought to get you fired?
Now, wait. Yeah, okay. James Chamberlain, the same James Chamberlain that required little children, 5- and 6-year-olds, in his classroom to, check their religious beliefs at his classroom door?
Yep.
The same James Chamberlain who believes, as we have stated in under oath, that he thinks he's an equal determiner of child's education needs as to a parent?
In spite of the fact that the 1947...
Are you shutting my list off? The list? Because I'm only starting to go here, Ron.
The United Nations Universal Declaration on Human Rights, Article 26, Section 3, says, and Canada, a signatory to this document, says, parents have the prior authority over their children's education.
Hmm. Well, not to mention...
James Chamberlain doesn't believe that.
Well, and ironically, we have here in Canada, Supreme Court of Canada decision in Audette that says parents delegate their authority to a teacher. So the only authority a teacher has is what we as parents choose to give.
Them, yeah.
We can take that back, too.
Or take our children out of a corrupt school system.
Well, I think that's where we're coming to. I mean, something has to change, but that's going to be a different part to this ongoing series.
Now, you were mentioning earlier a BC Teachers Federation resolution. I think it was in 1997.
You've got it.
Yeah.
And actually, a few years before that, we saw this whole movement sort of gain momentum in the BC public education system here, Ron. Tim Stevenson, a gay NDP MLA at the time, he's now a counselor for the city of Vancouver, we have his promotional propaganda for an election campaign where he basically lies to his constituency by telling them that this government was responsible for making mandatory changes within the curriculum. This goes back to 1995. Mm-hmm. That was not true. What happened then in 1997, I guess trying to make this prophetic assertion of Tim Stevenson's come true, the BC Teachers Federation brought forward a resolution to promote through curricular changes. The word promote is their word.
Promote.
Issues around homosexuality, homophobia, blah, 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 all the same language. Now, interestingly enough, because we all know the BCTF is, you know, their political wing is also known as the NDP.
Right.
Imagine this. Are you ready to feign shock? An emergency resolution was brought forward at the NDP convention to promote, through curricular changes, issues around homophobia. Actually, I know.
Yeah.
Do you need water? Can I get you something? Is that a shock?
I need therapy. Yeah, I need therapy.
And that was...
So you see the links, the reinforcement, and it's
the same guys over and over again. Over and over and over.
They move from one organization to another, to another, to another, and all push the same agenda. And they're pushing it on our children.
And on our dime.
And on our time,
yeah,
yes.
I'm sorry, people.
They use
you know,
our
if
money.
You don't care about your children, please care about Carrie's money, okay? You know. All right. So at this point, we see a lot of momentum start happening because the Gale organization comes together. The organization I was working with at that time, the Citizens Research Institute, was approached by a number of teachers who called me and said, "Carrie, we need your help." And I kind of went, what do you mean? Well, look at what they're doing in the public education system. I said, they've been doing that forever. You know, this is nothing new. No. This is organized. This is official. They want us to vote on these things. These are what they... And, you know, it was different, Ron. We've always had activist teachers, a problem within the BC Teachers Federation, playing out in the schools of British Columbia. And ironically, the BC Teachers Code of Ethics prohibits the use of the classroom for political ideology.
Ha!
I know. I guess they do that, and then they say, see, we don't do this because we have it in our code of ethics. But, of course, it's never enforced or it's never ensured that that's what's going on.
I have an email. And Len writes in to say, what you've revealed tonight makes me wonder whether parents would defend their children from the black plague if that was the current epidemic. This is a psychological black plague, and in fact, it might be much more harmful. Well, thank you, Len.
Excellent observation.
Yeah. And Jane has written in to say, it's been a long time since I have felt, one, just plain weepy since yesterday's email, and two, my stomach is literally tied in knots. Where is this program being presented? Ron said a moment ago it was being presented in BC schools and then said Lower Mainland at least. Well, and she asked, which is it? It's primarily the Lower Mainland, but it's moving into, because it's also in Haida Gwaii, for example.
And Kamloops, and it's making its way around. Burnaby School District has just bought 32 copies of Outen Schools. So we're seeing it sort of expand.
It's like the body politic. The infection starts in one location, but it quickly spreads. So, Jane, it's going to be all over unless people do something to stop the spread of this nonsense.
Okay, so Jane, go have a chat with the toilet and then get righteously angry, okay? You know, let's deal with this. Being weepy, being our stomach turns. If your stomach is in knots over what we've talked about, then change that up. Change that up into righteous anger. Change that up into righteous indignation. Change that up into action and mobilization. You know, pick up the phone tonight and call 5 people. Tell them to get on our email list. Get them to understand that every time you send an email about this stuff, it's important. It needs their attention. We need people. You know, we're willing to do the work here, Ron. This is a good deal, people, okay? We do work. We stop. Never.
We'll equip you.
Yeah.
Look, tell your friends. Carrie just said, call 5 friends. All right. Tell those 5 friends to go to cultureguard.com. And look at the videos and look at the, we will be putting more and more and more information to equip you there, but tell them to look at that. But then tell them to call 5 other friends and repeat that program over and over again. Just 2 things. Go to cultureguard.com, call 5 friends and get them to do that.
And email us at Culture Guard and say, I want to stop the insanity. I want this to end. I want my voice to be heard. I want you to be my megaphone. That's all you need to do.
But everyone that you tell it to, tell them to tell 5 others and to repeat the cycle. 5 times 5 times 5 times 5. And soon we'll have common sense civil Canadians mobilized to stop the insanity.
You know, Ron, I have to tell our listeners this, because this is about hope. When I was involved with the Citizens Research Institute, we did a campaign like this. This, you know, sort of everything sort of gets to this crescendo where you have to do something about it. And we did mobilize this province. Everywhere I spoke, hundreds, in some cases thousands of people came out to hear what was going on, and together, and you know, it's amazing, common sense civil Canadians get along really nice with each other.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of fun.
They're,
we had a
nice
great
people.
Time. Great people. And you know, if this is what kind of event takes to bring us all together, well then, good on us. You know, let's do it.
All right, now I have a question for you, Carrie Simpson. Are you going to write to Jim Chu about your encounter with Constable Eric Law?
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, this will form part of an affidavit that I am sure will end up in the courts, because regardless of what the police do, now I'm going to give them the opportunity to do what's right here, but regardless of what the police do, if they fail to act on this, I will then go and lay private information. Under the criminal code, individuals in cases like this can go and lay private information where then the charges can be laid by a justice of the peace or a judge in some cases. And we don't need the police to do their job.
At very least for misfeasance, yeah.
We don't need the police to do their job. So this is far from over. It is only, just begun.
We don't want them to protect our children the way they protected the merchants downtown after the Stanley Cup, do we?
Okay. Yeah, and I don't feel real safe about that, right?
No.
All right, now, I also want to give, you know, a little bit of encouragement to, as we go through this, Ron, because, you know, all of this sounds so overwhelming. It's not. It's called cut the funding, people. You get rich, okay? You know, it's just benefit, benefit, benefit. Your kids are safe. The schools go back to teaching what they're supposed to. Not that I have any hope the public education system will do this, but I want to give one note of encouragement, that that we can make a difference. We can bring about change. We saw it when we stood up against the gay activists, when we issued the Declaration of Family Rights back in 1997, and they got all upset and hauled me before the Human Rights Court. Well, I stood up and I fought them, and they ran away, okay? Truth does matter. Strong voices who are willing to speak truth and to confront the agenda. We haven't shown up yet. We need to be there.
You know, that was my experience with the Canadian Human Rights
Exactly.
Commission when a homosexual activist from Edmonton hauled me before them. I cooperated. I offered to present them with all the truth, and the other side just collapsed because they didn't have any truth.
And you know, I want to tell you people also what's going on right now that needs our attention. And before the Canadian Human Rights Commission, you've just reminded me of this, that they acknowledge that they have far more health issues and problems and deadly diseases than the rest of us. And so therefore, they are entitled to more government
money
to facilitate their lifestyle choices.
A lifestyle, a disease, a health problem that is exacerbated by behavioral choices, they want us to pay for.
Mm-hmm.
They could change their behavior and escape the consequences.
Well, I'm not even asking for that. Just restrict their behavior. You know, after reading the HIM stuff, just tone it down, boys,
or
okay?
Or pay
just
their own
bit.
Consequences.
Well, or let's just tax sex. I'm reasonable, tax. Ron Gray. Now, another...
Carrie Simpson wants to tax sex. Now, we think that we have, on Culture Guide, a reasonable program for civil, common-sense Canadians to stop all this insanity. I'm warning you, folks, unless you get on board and start motivating this, Carrie Simpson is going to tax sex.
I'm reasonable.
You're reasonable.
I will always find a solution to the problems that always
That's right.
abide. Now, the other issue here that's before the Supreme Court of Canada is a freedom of speech issue that's so important. It's Bill Watcott. People, there are things happening that are directly affecting your family and your liberty in this supposedly free and democratic nation. You need to be involved. You need to be informed. What we've tried to do with Culture Guard is to narrow those issues down to issues that are relevant to your life, issues that will inspire you to become involved, because we're going to give you the tools of involvement. We're going to make it easy for you. We're going to give you those phone numbers. We're going to provide you with those email addresses. We're going to bring the information to you, information that you won't get in the downstream media, as we've seen
as
today.
As we saw today, yeah.
But, you know, Ron, I was reminded as I was speaking of a story of encouragement, and I have to tell this because, as you know me well enough, and the events that happen in my life, it's never normal. So I was...
But it's always good.
It's always an adventure. It's never boring in my world. I had been doing a lot of speaking engagements at this point in time when this event happened, and I happened to be going over to the island, and my mom picked me up, and it was nice because I hadn't had a whole bunch of time to spend with her, and so she picked me up from either the ferry or the airport. I can't remember those details, but I just remember driving. I didn't have to be anywhere till the next day. I think I was speaking in Courtney. And we're driving along the island highway there. And if, for everybody who have ever been to Vancouver Island, you have to go in island mode when you're over there. It's a totally different pace of life. And it's
yep.
nice. Anyway, we're driving. Of course, it was rush hour out of Nanaimo. The rush hour in Nanaimo is not like Vancouver, but for them, it's a big event, okay?
It lasts 12 minutes.
But it was an exciting 12 minutes for me, okay? So we're driving along, and there's two or three lanes of traffic that we're all heading up island towards Parksville, Qualicum area. And I look out, and I'm just kind of kicking back and just breathing because this pace had been incredibly busy, and I just thought, oh, it's just nice to stop just for an afternoon. And in this moment of just, I look up and I see this guy running down the road. And he's got a briefcase in a hand, and he's in a suit. His tie is flying out the back, and he's just running. And I'm intrigued by this. I'm watching this guy, and he's just bombing down the side of the road. Well, of course, traffic is slow, so I get a lengthy time to observe this guy. And, you know, I see the line's traffic. I see what he's heading for. I see a bus up ahead, and he's trying to catch the bus. And the light stops, or the light turns red, and the bus stops, and I could almost feel the hope be given birth in this guy. He was going to catch his bus, right? And, of course, just as he's getting, you know, almost in that distance where the guy might actually see him and notice him, the light goes green and the bus takes off again. I'm expecting this guy just to give up and throw his hands up. Most of us would, right?
I guess.
The bus peels off. The guy keeps running. He doesn't stop. He keeps going. So finally, we're kind of edging up to him because, of course, we had stopped too. So he actually passed us. And we're on the inside lane of traffic, so there's two other lanes of traffic. And I roll down my window, and I yell at this guy. I said, "Are you trying to catch that bus, mister?" And he says, "Yeah." I said, "Well, hop on in." My mom goes, "Okay, why do you do these things, you know?" And he bombs across the traffic, and he jumps in my mom's van. And I said, "I looked at you, sir, and I said, there's a man on a mission. You're after that bus." He says, "Yeah, I've got to get to Courtney, you know?" And I said, "Well, I might, you know, worst case scenario, I can help you tomorrow, you know, because I'm heading up that way." "No, I need to be there today." And the whole time he's talking to me, Ron, he's never taking his eyes off the bus. Okay? His focus is on his objective.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never do his eyes waver. "I'm going to get my bus." So we actually make progress because now mom has been inspired to drive like Mario, that's the guy. And she's weaving in and out. And so anytime anybody observes me driving like that, it's my mother's fault, okay? Mom made me do it.
You hear that, Eric Locke?
Okay. She taught me. So anyway, we end up, now we're getting close to the bus. There is a stoplight. Big traffic. Murphy's Law, there's two or three big trucks behind the bus. Without saying a word, the guy just jumps out of the van, slams the door, and runs again. There's the ties going, the suitcase, and he's running. And, of course, he's down the side of the road now, and we lose sight of him because there's three big trucks here. And we don't know what's going to happen. The light turns green, and the bus peels out. We have no idea, did he make it? The first truck goes, the second truck goes, the third truck goes. No guy. He got his bus. He got his bus, people. And, you know, these issues, because so often people say, "Oh, Carrie, it's so overwhelming, it's so big, it's so this, it's so that, it's never going to happen." Well, I'll tell you, people, if you were there that day watching this guy, if he can catch his bus, then together we can do a whole bunch of really good things together.
If he can catch his bus, you can make 5 phone calls.
Absolutely.
That's a good program. 5 phone calls, 5 phone calls, 5 phone calls.
Like I said, with Culture Guard, it's easy to do. People, Culture Guard, cultureguard.com, go visit the website, email us. We will be having a publication that will be coming out both in print and internet-based. Your support is essential. $10 a month, people, will keep us going on your behalf to be fighting these wars. I think that's a pretty good deal considering the amount of work that gets done and the progress that we make here, not only at Roadkill Radio, but Culture Guard and all the other activities.
Yeah, and look, the bills do have to be paid. I mean, I remember a missionary once who said the gospel is free, but somebody's got to put in the plumbing, you know. Somebody has to.
Electricity works good in Carrie's office. Yeah.
Let me just take a moment aside to talk to. There's two groups of people in our audience. There's those who believe in prayer and those who don't. Okay. The people who don't believe in prayer contribute something to have somebody do the work for you. Those of you who do believe in prayer, put your belief into practice. This is an issue that does require prayer, and I would like to ask you to pray for Culture Guard and for the program Stop the Insanity. Open doors, grant favor. Do what you can. Do everything you can. It doesn't take a lot if a lot of people each do just whatever they can. So make the 5 phone calls. Yeah, contribute some money. There's a donate button on the Culture Guard page.
Or send us a check. We'll call us and we'll accommodate whatever way works best for you. But, Ron, I want to pick up on what you're saying. At Culture Guard, we are an umbrella organization of civil common sense Canadians. This is a vast and varied group of really good people from all walks of life,
yeah,
from all backgrounds, from all different faith representations within
and
our
none.
Community. And none. This is common sense civil Canadians. This is the group that truly makes Canada what it is. Respectful, tolerant in the true sense, celebratory in that we recognize the worth and value of each individual.
My goodness, we're diverse.
In the proper sense.
In the proper sense.
I also want to say we make no apologies for reaching out to all the various groups, including the faith group.
Yeah.
And you know, I think for the faith groups, they have been marginalized and vilified. And I want to send a special message to you to talk to your pastors, to talk to your religious leaders, to talk to the members in your Sikh community and then the Muslim community, because these communities have been great. Their sense of family, their sense of respect for what makes Canada great is just a testimony to itself to what this nation is about. People, do not apologize for your faith. Do not apologize for your position. Do not apologize for standing up for your rights to participate fully in this democracy. You know, end the division. If somebody tries to create division by calling people names, put an end to it.
In fact, to demonstrate what true diversity is, at the press conference today, the news conference, Carrie made an appeal to common sense civil homosexuals.
Absolutely.
Those who do not endorse all this pride and
sex
extremism
activism.
And sex activism to rise up within their own community. Now, it would be difficult for them because they'll be vilified by the
Absolutely.
Sex activists if they do. But you remember John McKellar?
Absolutely.
From Toronto.
Great guy.
You know, and he organized a group called called HOPE, Homosexuals Opposed to Pride Extremism. We just want all Canadians who want to see our culture survive recognize the fact that our culture survives in our children, and our children's minds and morals must be protected if the culture is to move from one generation to another.
We have a duty to protect that.
And no one else can do it for you. You got to do it. You've got to take part or it won't happen.
Ron, this has been a very special segment of Roadkill Radio. I don't think we've ever done anything quite like this.
Never done a one-topic show all the way through.
That's Boy, right. You can talk.
I'm a recovering politician.
So this is therapy for
this
you, is
therapy
it?
For me.
Now he tells us all.
Thank you all for your therapy.
And thank you all for tuning in and for listening. And I'm going to thank you in advance for taking this message forward to your friends, to your family, passing it on, helping us working together to make this mission a reality, to turn this into a victory for Canada and the people living herein.
5 phone calls, folks. Good night, everybody.
Easy stuff. Good night.
You've been listening to Roadkill Radio. Join us again next week for another trip down the superhighway of information, fact, and truth.